Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com. This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. It's been an up-and-down year for Charlotte FC, but at the end of the team's fourth season, they're riding high. Last weekend's victory over the league's best team, the Philadelphia Union, gives them home field advantage in their opening game of this year's playoffs. Home field advantage is likely to be helpful in that game next week against New York City because the Crown has historically played well at home. And it's another economic opportunity for Charlotte as thousands of MLS fans stream into Bank of America Stadium or watch the match on TV. But it won't be a cakewalk. Charlotte FC finished fourth in the Eastern Division in regular season play, and when they take the pitch in Game 1 of this best-of-three series, they'll do it without Wilfried Zaha after he earned a red card against Philadelphia. Still, after only four seasons, Charlotte FC is once again in the playoffs. They attract hometown crowds who adore them, and perhaps most importantly, they are this city's only winning team. Do I need to say that again? I better not. Here to talk about the season that just ended, the playoffs ahead, and the playoffs ahead, and some nuts and bolts of how this team is built and what it means to the city, we welcome Zoran Crneta. He is the general manager of Charlotte FC. He's here along with Carol Walton, who's our returning champion. She is a writer who covers MLS for the Charlotte Ledger. And Eric Spanberg is a bad penny. He's always here. He's the managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal. Welcome to everybody. Thank you for being here.
Good morning.
So let's start with the audio from a video that the team produced to celebrate the season that just ended and the playoffs ahead.
The ceiling for us is just to keep pushing to win things. That's the most important thing to me. And that's what I said I've come here to do from day one.
All you want to do is win things as a player. The goal is to go as far as we can in the playoffs and try and win the cup.
Us having the turnaround and managing to do what we've done and win so many games and break records and stuff, managing to win something at the end of the season would just be the icing on the cake.
We just want to focus on being a team that other teams don't want to play against in the playoffs.
This is our house!
This club's moving in the right direction and the fan base we have is phenomenal, so it's time to go and win a trophy for this city.
Rompa del vidrio! En casa de incendio!
So, Zoran, you're the one that has to follow that. You've been with this club since the very beginning, arriving here, I think, in 2019, 2020, somewhere in that neighborhood, as the club's inaugural sporting director. You were there before there were players, before Coach Dean Smith arrived on the scene, before anybody knew for sure how Charlotte would take to Major League Soccer. So how would you describe the journey that you and this club have experienced over time?
Well, it has been a long journey, and it was exciting journey. I would say exciting, definitely, also challenging, I would add. It wasn't easy. We obviously built the roster, the club, all other parts of the club through the COVID, which wasn't easy. We couldn't really meet people. We couldn't travel. We used the Zoom, this kind of Zoom kind of conversations that we're just having now. I had a hundreds and hundreds at that time. But at the end of the day, we made a progress every year. And this is where we are now, right now. So I think looking back, I have to be proud of everybody who helped building this club. Big thank you to the ownership. They supported us from the day one. They kept supporting us and they will support us in the future. And so to be honest, everybody played a part, and the club is stable, strong, I would say going places. We always said that we wanted to create a perennial playoff contender. The team that when you look at the season starting, you know that we will be in playoffs. You just don't know what position in playoffs and whether we're going to be a one, two, three, four, five. I don't want to go below that because I don't really, I'm not really interested in the places below the four, really. So this is what we are now. And to be honest, the owners, Nicole and Dave Tepper, challenged us some 2.5, 3 years ago for us to be 2025, 2026 among the top 7, 8 clubs in this country. And I think we're already there. So the next step would be to start looking at building the team that can win the trophies.
Well, you know, given the record that you just talked about, could you have imagined, did anyone imagine that this team would be as successful as it has been in terms of wins and losses and also in terms of the popularity amongst fans? Could you have imagined that?
To be honest, with the fans, I really didn't know much when I first landed from London on a totally empty plane. It was very, very a freaky feeling flying on a Boeing 777 that is carrying the pilot and air hostesses and a hostess and a couple of passengers. And that was really freaky and weird. And then I landed and I didn't know much about Charlotte and the fans, but that certainly surprised me. The fans, the fan base, the popularity of soccer in North and South Carolina, the growth of soccer in North and South Carolina, but also in Americas. That part, I was very, very surprised. And the part of the success, no, we planned it. This is, we had our plan, we had our strategy. Sometimes you hit some bumps on the road. As you know, we had some challenges in a year one, a year two with a coach, coaching changes and some other tragedy that happened and a few other issues that team gone through, but it just made us stronger and more resilient.
I just want to say, Carol, that the Panthers too have a plan, but they haven't had the success that the Charlotte FC has had. But as an observer, as an outsider, as somebody who covers this, Carol, for the press, how would you put into perspective this soccer club and their success?
I think it's steady improvement and learning at the right times what to do to get through. Zoran talks about mistakes they've made, but they've reacted quickly. And I think the biggest decision he made and the club made was bringing in Dean Smith. And I think that has really solidified what they're doing and where they're going and helped attract top quality players here. And those players are what have helped them reach that top four level this year.
So, Eric, take us back to the beginnings when Major League Soccer announced that Charlotte would be one of the cities for an expansion team. What did most people see as the future? What did they see? What did they believe would be the result of that?
Well, I think it's important for context, Mike, to remember that before David Tepper bought the Panthers, and the day he bought the Panthers in Atlanta, he said, it might be nice to have an MLS team. And people thought, well, maybe he'll go for one, maybe he won't. A year before that, Marcus Smith from the Speedway and some other executives had bid for a Major League Soccer team, and Charlotte did not get one. And the feeling around town was, okay, that's a dream that's going to have to be deferred for a long time. That was probably the best effort that we collectively could make. So when David Tepper came in and was able to land a team in December 2019, that was really fast. Obviously, he had the money, he had the willpower, he had the stadium, all those things. So I think that was a surprise that it happened that quickly. And then the other thing to remember in context here is soccer, and Carol and Zoran can both speak to this in greater detail. Soccer fans are different. Soccer fans also can be persnickety. In other words, you may like international soccer, but you don't like Major League Soccer, or you like La Liga, you don't like Premier League. There are all these sort of factions. And that was the thing I wondered about, because Charlotte had hosted international exhibitions and attracted a lot of fans. But what I wondered is, once Major League Soccer was here and there were matches all the time rather than one or two a summer, would people come out and support the team? And obviously, they have not only come out, they have enthusiastically supported this team. So that, to me, is a credit not only to the fans, but a credit to Zoran and what they have done with Charlotte FC.
And there were questions at the time, if I recall correctly, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, that we had other lower-level soccer league teams already playing. Then we had the Panthers, we had the Hornets, we had minor league baseball, and there was a question about whether the city was big enough to support yet another professional sports franchise, and clearly that has proven to be yes, the answer to that question. So, Carol, take us through the season. As I recall, the club started strong. They had a slump in the middle of the summer, and then they came roaring out of it. Would that be accurate?
That's accurate. And I think, you know, in MLS, a lot is made, and rightfully so, about whether you play at home or on the road. And Charlotte had, you know, kind of a fair, even schedule early on, and then had to hit the road, what, 10 out of 12 games. And that's when they did their losing. And it kind of compounded as, you know, it kind of knocked them back a little bit mentally and the physical toll of traveling. So really, if you trace the trajectory of how they've done, the road is when they struggled, and then they came home for a great stretch and then used the momentum of that to carry on into the playoffs.
Well, I was going to ask you, Zoran, to what do you attribute both the slump and the comeback of this team? And I'm curious about why teams tend to play better at home as opposed to on the road. Is it just the travel schedule and the tiring nature of that travel?
Well, you have to go a little bit deeper, because I think the Major League Soccer rosters are not necessarily big, and they're limited. So we don't have a luxury of, let's say, the Mexican teams who have 30-plus players who are all first-team players. So we have a mix of a first-team players, experienced players, and then a lot of youngsters. We call it reserve and supplemental rosters. And those players not necessarily have experience traveling on the road, but playing on a heat and playing on a cold and traveling back and then arriving home 4 o'clock in the morning, and then next day training a little bit, and then traveling again the following day. And then, so that's a very, really difficult schedule for some players. On top of that, we hit some injuries to the key players, especially defensive players. Our fullbacks were both injured. Our goalkeeper had who is one of the best goalkeepers and won the goalkeeper of the year last season, and arguably, in my opinion, he's still the best goalkeeper in the league. He had a bit of a bad patch, which happens to every athlete. We had Wilfred Zaha, who was our star DP. He also had a bit of a kind of issue coming from the Europe and not being fully fit.
All of which we're going to talk about as we continue to look back on the fourth season of the Charlotte FC Football Club and look ahead to the playoffs, which begin on Tuesday on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Talk to me. You said something interesting in that last answer, Zoran, and that was the fact that the players, when they travel, have to acclimate themselves to the heat and the cold. And these are players from around the world, but in Europe, I would think they don't have that same temperature range during the season, do they? I mean, aren't they used to playing in a certain...
No, they don't. You're right. You're absolutely right. We played, to be honest, this summer was really the heat waves were really strong this summer in United States. And the European players who came to play a Club World Cup, and some of those games were played in a Bank of America stadium, like Real came, Bayern came, Benfica. These are the elite European teams. They all struggled. The players struggled and complained. Chelsea played as well here. So I think the same goes for our players who we importing from Europe. It takes time for them to adjust on the specifics of Major League Soccer. Traveling, heat, altitude, time zones, that all kind of plays the part. So obviously it's easier if you have two games at home to kind of play at home and stay at home with your families than to travel nonstop.
I also want to talk about the difference in these different leagues that somebody already mentioned and you just mentioned again, because there's some differences that the players have to become accustomed to, and we'll talk about that and more when we come back. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and Habitat Charlotte Region. Since 1983, Habitat Charlotte Region has partnered with more than 5,000 families through financial education, home ownership, and critical home repair. More information at HabitatCharlotteRegion.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Charlotte FC, and their first playoff game coming up on Tuesday, first playoff game of the fourth season, which they just ended. Zoran Karneta is with us. He is the general manager of Charlotte FC. Carol Walton writes about this and other things in the Charlotte Ledger. And Eric Spanberg is managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal. And Eric, this is probably a silly question, but consider the source. Since Charlotte sports fans are accustomed to disappointment, let's put it that way, do the winning ways of this team cause the fans to be even more disappointed when they're having a slump like they did last summer? Or are they more forgiving because ultimately they end up in the playoffs and they see the rays of light at the end of the tunnel?
I think fans are very much of the moment, what have you done for me lately? Although I will say I mentioned earlier, soccer fans are a little bit different, not in that they are not any more forgiving, but I think the loyalty and the bond they form with the team is stronger in soccer. You know, you hear in a lot of sports that fans feel like they own the team. In soccer, that's several magnitudes stronger. They really they focus on every single detail of a team, of a stadium, of how the game is presented. And Mike, that reminds me, as we were talking earlier about whether there was room for Charlotte FC, one of the things that they have done extremely well is they have diversified the sports fan in Charlotte. You go to a match at Bank of America Stadium, that is a much different crowd, much more diverse crowd than you might see at a Panthers game. So I think that also has to be factored into this.
Carol, you mentioned Coach Dean Smith and his contributions and what his arrival has meant to the team and to the fans and to the winning experience of this. And then we've also had some very accomplished, high-profile players that have come on and off the team over the years, and the coaching staff, the staff has matured as the seasons have progressed. What do you think is the winning is the biggest factor in that, what appears to be a winning combination?
Well, first of all, I know Dean Smith came in and solidified the defense. And after watching the first couple of years, I know Zoran, there were nights where the other team taking the ball could get down the field in like 2 seconds. That doesn't happen anymore. So they play solid soccer, and then the rest they've added offensive pieces this year and made some improvements there. And so you just get the sense with Dean, he has an answer for when things are going wrong. He doesn't panic when things aren't going well. And then he doesn't get too high when things are going great. So you just get the sense that he knows what he's doing, and he and Zoran are working together to fix the problems when they come up.
Zoran, I know that you play a major role in choosing the players and staffing the roster, which we'll talk about. Did you play a role in obtaining Dean Smith? And if not, who did, and why Dean Smith?
Yes, I think I played a major role in Dean Smith, because I I knew him from before, and I actually even hosted him for dinner in Charlotte 2 years prior to his arrival. His son was playing a college soccer, so he was on his way to meeting his son and going to Bermuda for holiday with his whole family. His wife Nicola and daughter Katie came as well, and son Jamie, and they came to our game against Red Bull, and I hosted them. And then after the game, we went for dinner to in Barcelona wine bar, I remember, and. And driving back from that dinner, we had a really good time. We obviously won 2-0, so I was in really good mood. Driving back home, I remember talking to my wife, Rosie, and I said to her, what a nice man, what a good guy. I'd love to have him as a coach one day, but I know it's impossible, because at that time he was in England Premier League with Aston Villa coaching. And, you know, fast forward 2 years, he was just left Leicester City in the Premier League, and he was available. So I made a phone call, and it wasn't easy, but we managed to get him.
So let's talk about some of the standout players this season. One of whom has been Kerwin Vargas, who played, I think, all 34 regular season matches. There's also Christian Kalina, who recorded 12 clean sheets. And for those who don't follow soccer, that means he allowed no goals from the opposing team. And it is said that his shot stopping was pivotal all season long. And of course, there's Wilfried Zaha, who helped us win against Philadelphia last week. Talk about those and other players that you feel, Zoran, have been important to the team's success this year.
Well, as a new franchise, you try to bring the players, and you bring like a 30 players through the door in a few months, and then you hoping really that everything will work very well, because you kind of trying to second guess sometimes, and you lose some players and you get some players, but team are maturing, and with every year we were trying and succeeding, I would say, adding the right pieces to the kind of puzzle of the team. So Wilfried is just one of the last pieces. Christian Kalina was one of the first pieces, and he was excellent for us from the start, from the day one. And then Kevin Vargas was one of these, our first under 22 initiatives. We brought him as a 19, 20 years old from Portugal, second division, and he's done brilliantly. He's now settled. His family is here. This is his best season ever. And I think you can see the progress of the whole team, but also progress of individual players. And players like Wilfried Zaha, kind of cherry on a top, really. They're X-factor players, the players that actually can change the game within a second. And Wilfried showed this season. He had excellent numbers, and he got to know the team better, the league better, the stadium better. I think it's a slowly progress that actually kind of culminated at this stretch of the games. We in the last 13 games we had 11 wins, which I think it's incredible results.
You mentioned Kalina. Did you want to say something, Eric? Go ahead.
I wanted to ask Zoran a question actually, which is, I think you said this week that you view Idan Toklamadi as sort of the new face of the franchise. You've said that there's really no amount of money that could convince you to part ways with him. So for people who maybe haven't followed the team closely, if you could introduce them to Idan and maybe also share the historic nature of the MLS's first twerking penalty achieved by Charlotte.
So Idan Toklamati is one of our under 22 initiatives that we are heavily using our B team Crown Legacy to put young talented players that we find around the world and who are potentially not ready physically, mentally, even tactically, so in some cases, and we put them through the B team for 6 months or a year, and then once they're ready, we introduce them to the first team. And Dean Smith has a good history and a pedigree working with the young players. So this is what allows us to do these kind of moves. And Idan is Israeli. His father was originally from Benin in Africa. His father played in a World Cup long time ago. So he has a soccer pedigree, if you like. He's obviously we knew what we have in the house when Patrick Ajemang was still with us, but Patrick done extremely well as well. So he was playing, and Idan was lurking in behind. But once we realized the potential of Idan, and he trained with the first team, going to the preseason with the first team, and started playing some games, then we didn't have any hesitation in moving Patrick Ajemang, selling him to the England, and for the obviously best possible price for the club, and then introducing Idan. So Idan is one of quite a few players that we have coming through the B team that we actually acquired in the past 18 months. They are young, they are hungry, I think they're very talented, and I think we'll hear more from a few others as well, not only Idan.
You mentioned how Kalina has been a major factor in the team's success since he arrived. In fact, he was goalkeeper of the year in the league in 2024. But when the team was going through its slump this summer, he also was going through a rough patch. But Coach Dean Smith says he had a big impact on the team's rebound this year as well.
You know, we had a down period in the middle of the season, but by God, he's come through that, and he looks a hell of a goalkeeper again. He makes saves look simple at times when they're not quite so simple. And, you know, if I'm a defender in front of him, I'll feel safe when they get past me.
So, Carol, what did get the team out of its slump? How did he come through his rough patch?
Well, the good thing about Kalina, and one reason I think the fans love him, is he's an honest guy. He's direct. He had a new baby in the spring, and as a mom of three, I marvel when players aren't affected by being up all night, you know, and how they arrange it, if they have family in town to help. But he acknowledged that there was a transition for him with a toddler and a baby, and all the travel they did. I don't think he was mentally there as much as he normally is. So once, you know, they came home, got, well, actually, I think Dean sat him down for a game or two and started David Bingham. And Kalina is nothing if not fiery and competitive. And I think that that hit the right button with him. And when he came back, he was more mentally focused and motivated and kind of didn't look back. And then Zoran and Dean did it again. They brought in Drake Callender, a talented first line capable goalkeeper from Miami. And he's there waiting in the wings and pushing Kalina as well.
So. Wilfried Zaha, another standout. But when he first arrived here in Charlotte from Crystal Palace in the English Premier League, fans became impatient with his play. Coach Smith chalked it up to an adjustment period that needs to happen or needs to be taken into consideration when a player transitions into MLS. And you've kind of, one of you mentioned the difference in all these different leagues, Zoran. What is the difference? Why does it take an adjustment period to go from the Premier League to MLS?
Well, first of all, you bring your whole family from Europe into United States. It's everything is new, right? So Wilfried Zaha has two sons and a now new daughter, newly born daughter, wife coming from England where she was born, coming into USA. So that all kind of present a challenge. Second, he didn't play much in a previous club. His form was not great, and he wasn't fully fit. He missed some of our preseason. He never played in Major League Soccer, so probably there is a degree of understatement of the how good is the Major League Soccer for someone like Wilfried Zaha, who has 650 plus starts in Premier League and low goals and Premier League superstar. He probably did not expect, and he now told me that when we talk and discuss things on a daily basis, that how impressed he is with the Major League Soccer and how league grown into the kind of very, very strong, very physical, very demanding transition a league that you have to be fully fit to play and make impact. So now, once he's fully fit, then I think it's clear his impact on in every game. He's a very, very unique player. Technically, one of the most gifted players I've ever seen. He's also loved by the boys, and he's an interesting character in a changing room. You know, he has a voice strong very often, which is good because he's obviously the veteran and a star player. So I think everything fitted really well at the end of the day with his arrival, because you never know with the big name DPs, you never know how these boys would actually adjust to the life, to the changing room, to the coaching methods, to the league itself.
Carol.
Yeah, I thought I would add to what Zoran's saying. I think another factor with soccer is it really matters how you play with your teammates and getting to know your teammates. And for Zaha, I remember against Miami, you know, he's so good off the dribble, and he would try to do things on his own, and he would have two and three defenders on him. And even he said, and his teammates admitted, they kind of watched him. You know, like, let's see what he can do. But once they all started working together, getting to know each other and passing the ball, now we see what a great passer Zaha is and what a great playmaker. So I think that factored in as well, getting to know his teammates.
Unfortunately, he won't be playing on Tuesday night because of two yellow cards in the Philadelphia game. And Coach Dean Smith describes this as a, quote, disappointment, but he was glad that the season ended on a high note.
He's the most felt player in the league for a reason. And, you know, I felt that the protection of him wasn't as good as it could have been. And I felt that during a few times this season. You know, you could see the whole of their bench up every time there was a foul on him. And it's hard, so sometimes the red mist will come down on you, and you know he's human. He said that he got kicked, I think, and he tried to push him away, and he ended up pushing him in his head, I believe. but I've not seen it because I've followed the ball. So, yeah, it's disappointing, but we've secured what we wanted to do, which was fourth place, host playoff games, and we're looking forward to that now.
We're talking soccer, specifically Charlotte FC and MLS and the playoffs coming up beginning on Tuesday on Charlotte Talks here on WFAE. As you mentioned, Zoran, he is vocal in the locker room. He pushes his team. He's a mentor to a lot of the younger players on the team. But he's also one of the most fouled players in the league. He's really good also at getting in the heads of the players on the opposing team, I'm told. Why is he fouled so much?
It's very simple. He's fouled so much because he likes to have a ball in his feet and dribble and pass. And he's not necessarily a player that wants the ball in a space. So he runs towards the ball. He wants the ball to him. And the opposition trying to stop him passing and doing all these tricks that he does. He's very, very good at it. So this is why. I believe he has 125 fouls this season against him, which is by far the most fouled player in the history of Major League Soccer. And right now, there's the second most fouled player, I think, is the player from New England, Carlos Hill, who is on 100 fouls. So that can show you the how much more Wilfred is targeted by the opposition defenses and they're trying to stop him.
So I have to ask, because I know nothing about this, but I have to ask, is that a badge of honor?
I'm not sure that he wants to have that badge of honor. Probably very painful. Probably very painful badge of honor after the game, I would say.
Okay. Dean Smith also, Eric, has had his share of one too many yellow cards over time. He had to miss a home game against Miami a couple of weeks ago. This is something that rarely happens in other sports. Occasionally you'll see a basketball coach get hauled off the court, but not very often. Why soccer, and what is the impact of that when it happens on the team, on the fans, on the outcome?
And well, I have
hardly any time left. Go ahead. 30 seconds.
Just real quickly, I'll say that obviously we've talked a lot about Dean Smith and how effective he is. So you want him out there managing the team every moment that you can. So it has a clear impact. Dean Smith is aware of that. I would think he'll be on his best behavior during this upcoming series. And as for the first part of the question, Mike, soccer's just a little bit of a different animal.
Yes. Yes, it is. I'm glad somebody said that. Okay, we have to take a break. We'll come back with more, and we'll look ahead to the playoff and the first game on Tuesday night in just a moment. It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE.
Support comes from WFAE listeners and the Gambrill Center at Queens, presenting Earthwise, a public series exploring our connection to nature through science, film, art, literature, and lived stories. Part of their Connected Campus program. More at gambrillcenter.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFAE.org. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about Major League Soccer, specifically the Charlotte FC, and the fact that they have home field advantage in the first game of their Season 4 playoff series coming up on Tuesday. That's because of their win over Philadelphia, the number one team in the league last week. We're here with Zoran Crneta, general manager of Charlotte FC. Carol Walton writes about this in the Charlotte Ledger, and Eric Spanberg is managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal. Back for a moment to Wilfried Zaha. Coach Smith admitted that not having Zaha next week for the playoffs will be a loss. However, he again puts a positive spin on it by quickly adding that Zaha's absence creates opportunities for younger players.
We've got players in the squad who can actually go and compete. Obviously, you bring a player like Wilfried for a reason, so he's going to be a loss for us. But as I say, we won here last year without our DP when Pep Biel was wrongly, in my opinion, red-carded. And we have to go and somebody has to go and show me that they're capable of doing that. So, I'll be looking at the players that we've got available and seeing if they can make that jump.
Every team has stars, and every once in a while those stars, for whatever reason, can't play, and other players have to step into the breach. Is he putting a good face on this, Zoran, Coach Smith, out of necessity, or does Charlotte FC not necessarily depend on its stars, given the nature of the game?
Well, we had some games without Wilfred. I don't believe we lost a game without Wilfred, or maybe one only. So it's. I don't think he's putting a face. I think he's believing in other players that he has on his disposal. And I think there will be a chance for someone like Lier Labada, who is our DP player, who lost the place in the team to Kevin Vargas, to kind of show what he can do. And we have some other players that can play that same position. So. No, I think he's confident, Dean, that we can still go on in front of our amazing fans, the Bank of America Stadium. Hopefully, the bank will be packed, the lower bowl, so and will be similar atmosphere like Inter Miami. Where honestly, I felt that if Real Madrid were playing, we would win, let alone Inter Miami. So. Or New York City. So with all due respect to those teams, once we have a fully packed Bank of America Stadium, we don't fear anybody.
The team had a slump in the middle of the summer, and they came back from that, and now they're in the playoffs. What does that mean to the team? Does that the ability to come back with what has been described as tactical discipline and defensive solidarity? Does that infuse them with confidence, or going into the playoffs?
Well, yes, we won 11 out of 13. That would make any team in the world in any sport confident. Also, we had quite a few clean sheets, so no goals against us, which is very important. We have back a very, very important part of the team, the defender Harry Toffolo, who we brought from Premier League, who has been injured. Now he's back. Nathan Byrne, who is very important part, fullback, right fullback, also back to the full form. You mentioned Christian Kalina, who is in a great form as well. So right now, I think at the back, we're looking very strong. So once you're looking, you know how they say the game, the attack wins the game, but the defense wins the championships. So we feel very, very strong how we look right now. And you know, this is one of the games that we'll play without Zaha, but then the next game we'll play with him. So I think this game is everything to play for at the bank. And then after that, we hope to kind of finish the job in New York, to be honest. We would like not to have a third game, ideally.
So, yeah. So Carol, last week, the team beat the number one team in the league, Philadelphia. We are in fourth place. And in the first game of the playoffs on Tuesday, they're taking on fifth place, New York City. We are 13-3-1 at home. They are 6-6-5 away. That's part of that home field advantage, I guess. Does that mean anything, however, once the playoffs begin? Or when the playoffs begin, is it a clean slate?
A little of both. I mean, I think Charlotte definitely has the advantage at home, but New York has that very same advantage, you know, when Charlotte travels up to play at Yankee Stadium. I think New York is a dangerous team. Charlotte learned that in a 2-0 loss in New York just a couple of weeks ago. So clean slate in that anybody can beat anybody. You know, I think... MLS is a pretty even league, and it does hurt them to lose Zaha. You know, that's something they'll have to overcome, and it'll be interesting to see how they handle it.
So Zorn just mentioned, Carol, that he would prefer to see a two-game as opposed to a three-game series here between these two teams. What do you see? What are you predicting for this best-of-three series? Carol?
Oh, me. I'm sorry. I thought you had Soren.
I thought you had a stroke.
You're putting me on the spot. Okay. I think it's going to come down to three games. You know, I think there's just enough in this. I think, you know, if Charlotte does well enough and wins at home, I think New York has a very good chance of winning it at home. And so we'll see it come back here.
Okay. Every home game brings fans, Eric, into the stadium. And that means a kick in the right direction to Charlotte's economy. Is that amplified in any way when the team is involved in the playoffs and hosting the first game of the series? Is this going to be more than your average game to Charlotte?
I don't know if it'll be more than your average, but you're gaining simply by the incremental nature of having more home matches. And if you look at Bank of America Stadium, before David Tepper owned the Panthers, it was really eight or 10 Panther games, a couple of college football games, and that was it. And now, of course, you have nearly 40, more than 40 events a year. A lot of those additional events are Charlotte FC matches. And the other thing that's happening, Mike, is in Major League Soccer, you play 17 home matches a season. Then you also play in the League's Cup, which brings several more home matches. And on top of that, Charlotte's growing soccer reputation. Zoran mentioned the FIFA Club World Cup was here this summer. That was four matches with huge international teams. We had the Copa America last year, and we should also mention that it's all but a lock that in 2031, when the when the Women's World Cup is in the U.S., that Bank of America Stadium will host matches. So all of these things are building on each other, creating more and more economic impact.
Yeah, well, so talk about that impact, because the NFL is probably the big dog in terms of sports leagues in the United States. We have an NFL team that plays in that same building that the Charlotte FC plays in. But how do you compare the economic impact of Charlotte FC versus the Panthers, versus the NBA Hornets, versus the minor league baseball team? Are they the big dog in terms of bringing people and money and people to restaurants and hotel rooms, et cetera?
They all do their share, but in different ways. I will say the thing about soccer, particularly when the international matches come in, or when Charlotte FC plays a Chelsea, or they play a League's Cup match against one of the Mexican League teams, is you're getting an international fan. You're also getting fans of international teams who may live in other cities in the region or other parts of the country. The single biggest example that I can think of, Mike, is the Copa America match last year that included Colombia. The whole city was essentially Colombia satellite location. And so that's easy math, right? When people are flying in, when they're staying in hotels, that is creating a whole nother level of economic impact versus your standard home match, which is important and brings in a lot of people, but it's just several magnitudes greater when you get those international teams involved. So I think it all builds on itself, but the soccer culture here, it is really surprising to me how quickly it has built and sustained itself.
There was a time in Charlotte when the only franchise we had was a McDonald's, to paraphrase a sports writer's prognostications on the chances of our getting an NFL team a little bit from 100 years ago. We won't have to go into that. But the city was quite different then. And now we have the NFL, we have the NBA, we have minor league baseball, we have this soccer team playing in the MLS, we have another soccer team playing in a lower level league. What has all of that collectively meant to this town, Eric?
Well, I think sports is such a big part of Charlotte's reputation. We're known as a banking city. And if we're known beyond that, it's the sports. Remember, it really started with NASCAR was the first big league sport, but it was a little bit regional.
Isn't it interesting that I forgot even to mention them?
Yeah, and that shows how it's changed. It was kind of a regional sport, then it had this huge boom, and now it's kind of settled somewhere in between. But I think what it says, Mike, is that this city and this region are so hungry for sports because, as you mentioned, each time something is added, many of us wonder, well, can it be supported? Look at the PGA Tour out at Quail Hollow and the huge crowds. And we haven't even gotten to women's sports. Remember, we have the new women's soccer team. We have a women's basketball team coming. WNBA is probably going to come back at some point. So I think what it says is that this area really loves sports, really loves to support sports. And then finally, Mike, remember, we have 150 people or whatever the number is moving in each day. A lot of those people are young professionals. They're looking for something to do. They have disposable income. They'd love to go share some of it with Zoran and his friends over at Bank of America Stadium.
Zoran, one thing that Major League Baseball and NBA and the NFL have in common that soccer does not is that the games are easy to find on television. They're either on broadcast television or they're on cable TV. And I think with the MLS, correct me if I'm wrong, you have to have a subscription to Apple TV Plus, and you need to subscribe to the MLS plan or a Plus plan. What is the impact of that on your viewership? What does it do to your opportunity to further build your fan base? And is the league working on getting on more accessible channels?
I think the league is together with the ownership, the all the other clubs are working and building a sustainable model. Obviously, being associated with Apple and Apple TV was pretty a visionary, I would say. We are the only a sport that Apple ever had. I think it's a. I like the fact that I can travel all over the world and watch the live games. So no matter where you are, whether you're in Argentina or whether you are in Austria or Italy or wherever else you are, you can log on and watch the live soccer game, MLS game, any game, see the highlights, see the best moments, which we didn't have before. Obviously, some fans are missing a linear TV that we had before, but I think there are more attempts now to kind of marry the two and have some. Still offer the fans who don't have access to Apple TV to kind of chance to kind of watch our games with maybe a little bit later after the game has finished. So I think we are moving in the right direction. As with every new product, every new initiative, it takes time. But I think it's getting better and better. I think today that there are news coming out about subscription on Apple that is getting better. I think some like 29% increase from the last year. So I think we are getting slowly though, but we're getting where we and the league would like to be.
We're talking to soccer on the eve of the first playoff game in there at the end of the fourth season of Charlotte FC. It'll be on Tuesday night at Bank of America Stadium this morning on Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Zoran, your arrival in Charlotte marked a foundational step in building the club's identity and its roster from scratch. You were here before any player was ever even in the imagination of the ownership. But prior to coming here, you founded a global sports agency, Star Sports and Entertainment, and you were brokering contracts for more than 150 soccer players around the world. Did that give you, and therefore this team, kind of an inside track on building a talent roster?
I believe that my previous life as an agent in Europe gave me a very unique perspective and ability to have the right information and understand the players better than potentially someone who has never been an agent and never been on the other, as people would say, dark side of the business. I believe so, that there is advantages, and I think we're seeing more and more agents moving to the other side. I think recently DC United just hired the ex-agent as the new GM. We have Rob Pelinka at LA Lakers, who was an agent before transitioning into the sport executive. So I think that's definitely advantages, obviously, and disadvantages depending of who is the agent and what his background is. I'm lucky that I also have a corporate background. I've worked in financial markets in England and London for many years. So that helped me to kind of transition into the corporate market of the Tepper Sports and Entertainment, because we are a big and very well organized and complex organization. Of course, you know, it's a lot of people and two clubs and the stadium operations. So that probably helped me a little bit navigating from the day one. But I would say a short answer, yes. I think there are clear advantages being an agent, having access to the best players, best contacts, a lot of information, network of the contacts across the world. Would actually was very helpful at the beginning.
Carol, they've just put the button, the pin in the map of the fourth season. It's over. Now they're heading toward the playoffs. Now, what do you see as the future for this team, whether they come out on top of the playoffs or not? What's the future?
I mean, I think one thing I've heard recently is that they like to be a Seattle, you know, a team that every year is competing. And I think that's within reach if they keep on this trajectory. And I think you're seeing the fan base kind of settle into a rhythm too. You know, we're not doing the 60,000 seat games anymore, but it's a solid, you know, 28 to 30 every game. And I think that'll continue.
And regardless of how this all shakes out, the playoffs, what are the positive takeaways as an outsider, Carol, from this season? And I have 30 seconds.
positive takeaways. It's still a great time to come to a game. Your chances are you're going to see a win. They win against the best teams, and they're in the playoffs with a shot to win it all.
Carol Walton writes about all this in the pages of the, and on the web pages of the Charlotte Ledger. I'm not sure anybody has a paper in front of them anymore. Zoran Karneta is the general manager of Charlotte FC. Congratulations on the fourth season. Good luck in the playoffs. And Eric Spanberg, managing editor of the Charlotte Business Journal, all our guests this morning. Thank you all for the hour.
Charlotte Talks is a production of 90.7 WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from Mazda of South Charlotte. Our executive producer is Gabe Altieri. The senior producer is Sarah D'Elia. The producer is Chris Jones. For more information on Charlotte Talks, to listen to past episodes, or to subscribe to the Charlotte Talks podcast, visit wfae.org/charlottetalks.
Support comes from WFAE members and Mazda of South Charlotte, focused on applying Mazda's customer-centric approach for vehicle design to car buying and servicing in order to create an experience centered around the customer. More at MazdaofSouthCharlotte.com.